we get a ton of inquiries for the long-term RV. And, you know, in our Google listing and everything, we say this is long-term only. You have to stay a minimum of 3 months. And we get a ton of interest. People are like, I want to stay there. I want to stay there for a year. I want to stay there for whatever. I don't know. It's interesting.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Gabe Peterson is a commercial real estate investor with a focus on self-storage and mobile home and RV parks. He's also the host of the Real Estate Investing Club podcast. Gabe, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, man, pleasure's mine. Three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Nice. 90 seconds or less. Where did I start? I started in corporate. Didn't like it, decided to jump out. And then I started in wholesales and flipping. What was the second one? Where am I now? I'm doing self-storage facilities, mobile home park, RV parks. And how did I get there? It was a very up and down road. It was, I mean, you know, it's never linear. And so I started with the wholesales flips and then I did more flips. And then how did I get from here to there? I think after that, I just jumped into mobile home parks. I met a partner who was really interested in it. I was thinking about going down the apartment route and, you know, decided to go mobile home parks with him, bought one and loved it. And I wanted to stick in commercial. And so here I am now.
Man, that's cool. That is very cool. It's a lot of moving pieces. At some point, it sounds like you focused. You said, hey, I'm going straight mobile home parks, or are you still buying those other asset classes such as self-storage and RV parks? I mean,
yeah. So I bought two mobile home parks, mobile home RV parks. I like them, but I really wanted to do self-storage before getting into mobile home parks. I knew I wanted to get into commercial. I didn't know exactly what asset class. Mobile home kind of worked out because I had met that partner. But once I did those two, I wanted to look into different asset classes and figure out what really fit. I really like self-storage. It's more of a business than it is, you know, people live in mobile home parks, RV parks, and self-storage is more of a business. And I like that. It's very easy to manage, very, very, you know, hands-off kind of management style there. Build costs, I mean, they're going up now, but it's not as much as, you know, apartment building, stuff like that. And so I've done a lot in self-storage and I'm focusing also on RV parks now because I do like the business aspect of RV. And I know we have that in common. And yeah, that's where we are.
That's really cool. So you own mobile home parks. You have been building self-storage and also looking at RV parks and RV resorts. What was it like? And are you still building self-storage?
We've bought up to this point. This is the first build. We're just closing on it now. It's out in Indiana. It's got 150 units that exist. And then there's an additional acreage that we're planning to double the footprint. So we're really excited about that. First time going through a build and I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, let's talk about that project a little bit. What type of self-storage is it?
The current footprint is all outdoor. It's concrete frame with, it's kind of an older self-storage. So it has a wooden, you know, standard like house wooden roof, which is different. Yeah. We want to put in steel frame, but what's there right now is concrete cinder blocks with a wood roof, like, you know, regular shingles, but they're all outdoor. You know, we want to do a little bit of climate controlled when we add in. Right now, nothing's climate controlled. Does have an office on site, which is good. It's got fully fenced, including the acreage that we want to expand to. So that's really nice. And yeah, the acreage that's there right now, we had thought originally that we just jump in, throw some gravel down, because right now that additional acreage is just grass. We'd planned, you know, we'd wanted to jump in, throw gravel down and start having people park there, do lease out parking until we can get permits and everything for the build. Right. But the city, for some reason, does not want people to park on lots. It's just a thing. Indianapolis, they're just not down. And so that's not going to be a part of our plan. Now we're just going to have to build. It's not a problem, but just a thing that we kind of just recently popped up.
How did you identify this opportunity because you live in Washington State, right? How did you identify an opportunity and then know that it made sense all the way in Indianapolis?
I mean, the identification was just off-market marketing. We do a ton of, you know, lead generation. Mostly, we used to do a lot of RVMs, but recently it's been mostly letters and text marketing. Text marketing has been working well and letters always work well. So it came through there, got in contact with the seller. And how did we identify that it was a good deal? Obviously, numbers work out. And this one actually was not a good deal on paper. It was a 6.5 cap. Going into it, it's not a good deal. We don't want to buy, or at least I don't want to buy a 6.5 cap right now. So it wasn't great, but the seller gave us, you know, we negotiated, I said the price is too high. He said, let's figure this out. He gave us great terms, seller financing, interest only, so that, you know, kind of allows us to cash flow while we're doing the build. Once we finish the build, it will be a good deal. It'll be, you know, 12 cap plus, you know, so we're hoping those numbers work out. But, you know, we use TrackIQ to kind of come up with the net rentable square feet per capita to make sure that there was enough demand there and kind of understand what we could expect to lease him out at in the future, and put it all together in our spreadsheet and decided it was a thumbs up.
Right. I'm not familiar with TrackIQ. Can you tell me about that?
It's specific to self-storage. It's like a software program that does, you know, you could use it in due diligence. You know, you can put in an address and it'll pop back, you know, what's the per capita net rentable square feet? You know, how many self-storage facilities are within X number of miles, blah, 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 blah. All the data that you want to figure out whether this particular area is a good place to invest or not.
Right. Oh, that's cool. That's very, very cool. You mentioned a word earlier I wasn't familiar with, or an acronym. You said something to the effect of RVMs on the marketing.
Oh, yeah. Ringless voicemail.
Ah, right. That's been catching a lot of flack in the industry, I think.
Understandably so. And that's kind of the reason why I stopped, is because I didn't really feel good about it. Ringless voicemail, you're not actually calling the person. So that's good. I feel like it's not, you know, it's not that annoying, but it is kind of annoying to see you miss the call and then see a voicemail. So that's kind of the reason we stopped there.
Got it. Yeah. Familiar with ringless voicemail. Just maybe a little slow on the, because it's something I don't use every day or use at all. That was why I wanted some definition really on that. Cool. All right. So you've got this climate controlled, or you've got this storage facility you're building currently. What does opportunity look like for you right now? Again, you know, assuming, you know, you've got a mobile home park, you're building a self storage, you've got your hands, I think, in the RV resort space. So what's an opportunity for you to say, hey, that looks good for me?
I mean, right now it's just, I'm trying to hire more an acquisitions specialist to help out with the, I've got a ton of leads coming in. And so it's just going through what's currently there and identifying the ones that are actual deals. Right now I'm focusing on self-storage and RV parks. I've got, you know, an absurd amount of data for both sides, and I just need to, it's just a matter of like getting through it. So, I mean, opportunity always comes down to the deal. You know this, I'm sure everybody listening knows this. Any deal can work, you just got to make it work. So it'll just come down to whether the seller will give us good price or terms, whether the area makes sense and all that stuff. So right now, opportunity is just getting through that lead, the pile of leads we got, and finding the gems.
Right, right. Absolutely. Tell us about the RV park and RV resort side for you guys. You currently own in that space?
So we have an RV park, but it's a long-term stay RV park. It doesn't operate as a resort. The average tenant stay there, I think, is like a year and a half, something like that. So it's really long, but it's still, you know, the rental prices are higher than you would see in a mobile home park. Our mobile home side is, you know, we have a mobile home park that's within a half hour of that RV park. The mobile home, they rent for $350 and the RV rents for $450. That's market for each side. And so RV, long-term stay RV, for some reason rents higher. And so that, you know, that's the only RV we have right now. I have more interest in the actual RV resort side. The long-term stays, it's good. They cash flow well, but the resort side seems more interesting to me.
Right. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about that long-term component. Is this outside of city limits, where it's like a county only and there's no restrictions on people living in their RVs year round?
If it's outside city limits, it's like right on the cusp. I don't remember, to be honest.
These people are there 12 months out of the year.
Yeah, they're there.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, a lot of what we've encountered in the RV space is that if it's inside city limits, there's usually an ordinance that prevents them from living there. Like, hey, you know what? They can't live there 30 days in a row. They have to go somewhere else. Maybe they can stay for a couple of weeks and they got to leave. There's some, each city and each municipality is going to have their own kind of criteria.
The city called us on that because then you have an additional tax. I can't remember what the tax is called, but it's like a short-term stay tax. And so we just let them know that, hey, these people stay there for longer than 30 days and they didn't tax us on it. So, but I think we are outside of the city limits. We must be county.
Yeah. Well, and again, maybe the city allows it. This is a very hyper-local ordinance sort of thing. I just was really curious what that RV, long-term RV park is like. Why is it an RV park, and is there a potential to convert it to a mobile home park? Or I guess if the cash flow is higher, why would you?
There is not a potential to convert it to a mobile home park because the lot size is smaller for RV versus mobile home.
Sure.
And so it fits RVs, does not fit a mobile home. It used to, originally it was a KOA, Camp of America site. So it has at the front of the property, there's this huge structure. It used to be like, must have been like a rec room, kind of common room with an apartment on top, and then public bathrooms. And so it looks, and it also has campsites with electrical, which are, you know, are way small, but you can't put any, we don't have any use for those there. But yeah, it looks just like a KOA, but now there's just long-term stay RVs. The structure is actually really nice. We're glad we got that because the top unit, the apartment on top, that's where our property manager lives. And then she has the full bottom to do events. She has her office down there, all that sort of stuff. We also have laundry units in the facility. It works out pretty well.
So if I'm hearing you right, just to talk about the metrics of the RV long-term park, the spaces are smaller and they rent for more dollars per month. So
yeah.
I mean, again, both of those are compelling metrics as to why maybe a longer-term RV park would be maybe be something to look at versus even a mobile home park.
Yeah. And we get a ton of inquiries for the long-term RV. And, you know, in our Google listing and everything, we say this is long-term only. You have to stay a minimum of 3 months. And we get a ton of interest. People are like, I want to stay there. I want to stay there for a year. I want to stay there for whatever. I don't know. It's interesting. Could be due to the price of housing out here in Washington State. But yeah.
That's really, really cool. Are you actively looking for more RV parks?
So I have a national database, long-term, short-term, doesn't matter to me. I'm just, you know, I just kind of jump on opportunities as they present themselves. I'd like to go into the actual, you know, resort side. I think that would be fun. If, you know, if the long-term stay RV park popped up, I'm not going to turn my nose to it.
Right. Deals and money. I say it over and over again on this show. Those are the two things that we need for this business to go around. Sound like you're solving the deal side of it. You're an excellent marketer, and you sound like you said you've got more leads coming in than really, you know, really how to filter through and figure out which ones are the ones you want to chase. Talk to us about the financing side of these opportunities, though. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I'm actually just doing the first one. All the properties that I bought so far, I've done it with my own money, money from wholesales that I've done, or money from, you know, very close family members like my parents, my sister, you know, close friends, stuff like that. But just recently, this deal that I'm doing in Indianapolis, it's going to be partnering with a guest that I had on my podcast. So this is the first one that I will be bringing outside capital for. And I'm pretty excited that, you know, it's kind of, capital can be kind of the barrier that a lot of investors run into. And I know I did at many points in my career. And it's kind of seeing the potential of just, you know, if you can find a deal and you can run the deal, there's capital out there. There's plenty of people who are willing to, you know, support you in the capital side.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. I love the idea. And that's something people ask me all the time. They're like, why do you podcast? Why do you run a daily show? It's like, well, it's because I meet amazing other investors in the space, and the number of deals that we've put together just from running the show is pretty astounding. So I love that you're partnering with one of your previous guests on this opportunity in Indianapolis. Before we go into the last question of how our investors can get in touch with you and learn more about you, tell me, I mean, is there anything else that you'd love to share with our guests, lessons you've learned along the way, things you feel like people should be paying attention to or doing right now that would directly impact the real estate investing career?
I mean, one lesson that I kind of take from my own experience is that it always takes longer than you think it's going to take. Even today, I always try to remember those two facts, that things always take longer and things always go wrong. I mean, if you take those as facts that are going to happen, then everything else is okay. And so if you're out there and you're just getting started, or you've got maybe one or two properties under your belt and you're feeling the pressure, just know that if you just keep going, it'll work out.
Absolutely. That's sound advice, Gabe. Certainly appreciate that. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Best way is through the podcast website. That is therealestateinvestingclub.com. And that's it. Therealestateinvestingclub.com. My email is gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com as well.
Awesome. Gabe, thanks for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Sam, thanks a bunch.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.